Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being in our midst. Lord, it's a blessing to be in your presence.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, bless us to go forward doing all that's in your heart. Bless every service this morning, every speaker, everyone that goes forward. Bless, be with them and help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I thank God for guidance.
Amen.
We made it to one of my favorite scriptures last week. Anytime we're talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in Ezekiel, Solomon made known that, you know, the poor had no comforter. And Ecclesiastes is a book that's talking about everyday life in the world, a man living apart and in rebellion against God. And that's why he said it's vanity, vanity of vanities. In chapter 4, he talked about how there was no comforter. You know, the strong man was out there, and then the weaker man didn't have a comforter to resist him. But Jesus Christ left us with a comforter, and that's very important. He said, we got to the mission of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 reads, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And then he said, I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Amen.
And this week, sometimes the Lord teach me things about the enemy, how he works. And earlier this week, he had me to study Genesis chapter 10. And I read down to where Nimrod took over. And he said to me that when the enemy does presents a dictator like that, a ruler like that, he always creates a fear base first. Something, because he works through fear like God works through faith. The people were afraid of him, and he took power. And in Revelation, in 10 nations are going to give their power to the beast. They're going to fear him. But the enemy uses fear tactics, and the Lord will show us things. We don't have any fear, mm-hmm. And we shouldn't. But we're gonna.
What the scriptures say, he has not given.
He's not given us the spirit of fear.
Uh-huh. So if we got fear, where is it coming from?
Coming from Satan. And even though we don't have fear, he'll try to mingle it in the church. He'll try to get people to get in fear. And it's a decision. Everything that we do is if we walk in love, it's our decision. If we get in faith, it's our decision.
Amen.
And if we get in fear, that's also our decision. And you know, it's just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just reject it. Anything you don't like in the world, just reject it. And I learned that. That's one of the things I learned from the Holy Spirit.
What if it's an integral part of our culture?
Just reject it. Because the Holy Spirit come with power. And whatever you need, he's right there with you. He said, I know that a big problem in the church is lack of knowledge. But he said the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. And this was back in the 90s. I always talk about that, how. But because when people follow him, he'll guide you out of error. And he'll help you see it coming and avoid it. And, you're driving your car, you see a pothole, you just avoid it. But if it's at night, you'll need help to avoid it. We're navigating sometimes at night. And the Holy Spirit will help us avoid the troubles that's out there. My uncle was driving a car, and this really happened. And he felt his hand just turn to the left and then straighten up. And he went around a truck. the lights were off.
Oh, wow.
The battery was dead in the truck. And it was a big one. He just drove it. He didn't even know it was there.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this. Everything that he does, he does it wide open boldness. He said, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's his mission. So, and I noticed many times Christians, when it's time to stand up and just be the light that they are, they put the brakes on. They don't want to disturb everybody. Light interrupts everything. It exposes everything for what it is. There's no hiding places. So when that may be why people put the brakes on when it's time to follow God, because he'll guide you in a way that you just expose everything for what it is. That's how change is made. And I had to get over putting. Now I had a vow going. I told the Lord I'd follow him. So he'd tell me to do things, and it would just interrupt everything. And I had to do it. So I had to make myself do it. I had to reject fear. I had to go pray in the Holy Ghost and come back and do what he said do.
Right.
Well, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had listened to if I didn't make that vow, I may not have done it, just being honest. But I had a vow, so I had to do it. I had to make myself do these things. Thanks, Lord. And when I learned some things, if every time I went forward with what he said do, it worked. And some things worked over time, and some things it wasn't. What I would have feared wasn't there. Fear has no foundation. And I learned I really had no reason to fear. And the Holy Spirit will move you into an unknown at his will. But he's with you, and it's going to be good. You know, the pastor said, go lay hands on people. And I said, well, okay, you know. And I grew up a relatively shy, quiet type person. It wasn't in me to just go get something started. But I said, I'm going to do this. So when people would get sick at work or wherever, I'd lay hands on them, and they'd get healed. And Brenda, she at work, she always has, time I walk in the door, I got somebody we need to pray for. And we and her pray for folks, and they get healed. And we just praying that they're somewhere else. We pray for them. Next thing you know, they're at the hospital. They had a good report. This happens often. And but when you go forward with the Lord, with what God gives you to do, it works. And you find out this is what Satan didn't want to happen. So we're designed to do this. His blood washed away our sin. We're clean. We reprove the world of sin because it's not in our nature. And in all the gray areas that we don't understand, the Holy Spirit will help us guide around. And people are watching. You are peculiar. When you don't do what they do, when you don't laugh at the cross jokes, you know, you interrupt everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then of judgment, we represent the fact, we show people that judgment is coming, and it's avoidable. All this is done by the Holy Spirit, and we're plugged into him. Now, this is something that the enemy didn't know to watch out for. He didn't know this was going to happen. Remember when Jesus was telling them this, Satan had possessed Judas, and he was gone. Satan's mind was on getting Judas to betray Jesus. And Satan can't be at two places at once. He has to be one place at one time. He didn't know. And Jesus said that the enemy wasn't there earlier on. This is the same day. You know, these chapters make it look like it's long, but this conversation is short. All of it. I mean, this is his walk to Gethsemane. And the enemy didn't know what the Lord was doing, though Isaiah talked about it. In Isaiah 58, 11, he said, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Another scripture said, "You'll hear a word behind you, say, this is the way, walk in it." He will guide us. Now, Satan didn't know this was going to happen while he was plotting to have Jesus killed. And he didn't know he was about to get his power stripped. And Jesus was going to raise up from the dead. And then that was going to be millions of people just like him in the future. That do greater works than he did. And now you got them on TV. You got them on the radio. You got them everywhere. And they just exposed the world for what it is. And the stronghold that Satan once had is no longer true. And a few people, God always, he takes a little and do a lot.
Amen.
Satan is high-minded. His thoughts are high-minded. So he couldn't conceive God going down low, working with people that's beneath angels. You know, God made angels out of precious stones and precious metals. He made us out of the dust of the earth. So he thought, he looks at us like we would probably look at a mosquito or something. You know, that's just insignificant. And now the Holy Spirit is in us.
Yeah.
And we're just tearing this territory up by speaking our words and living our life, guided by the Holy Spirit. And he'll guide us in my favorite scripture in the whole Word of God is 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide us into all truth. And that statement alone, you know, we have access to all knowledge, whatever you want to know. And I ask God anything. And some things I keep, but most of the things when he put it in my heart, I'll share it. But things that he's doing, the things he's gonna do, it's just awesome.
Amen.
And I thank him for all of it.
Amen.
Okay, we are about out of time. we'll pick up at 14 next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, and when he had given thanks, I love the way the Lord comes to commune with us. You can talk to him at your will. The church I went to, Refuge Temple, they had a strong praise and worship. They would go into worship. You know, that's how I learned to just go in his presence. And I would go in the Lord's presence at home, you know. And that's where, you know, communion has been a strong part of my life. So this is very important. Being able, you don't have to go and sacrifice a goat or two turtle doves. You just go in his presence. You know, it's not like it was in the old days. You just, wherever you want to, you just go in his presence. He's always there. And verse 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Every time I take this, I'm reminded of that victory. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And I thank the Lord for that. All the victory that he's given us. Before we close, anybody had a comment? All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I love your presence. I thank you that we can live in your presence and be guided by you wherever we are. Dear Lord, I thank you for being with us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Apostle, as you taught me when I could just sense the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. I can too. He's here. Thank you.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You speak of living in his presence and entering his presence.
Mm-hmm.
If we live in his presence, is entering his presence just setting our minds on him?
Yeah. Is that- It is. He's always there.
See, God is always present, but we're not always in his presence. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my mind is on here, going this, doing that. And he said to get in his presence, you have to do it spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it naturally. Our natural mind won't allow us mm-hmm. alone. Although our natural mind helps us,
mm-hmm.
is not the one that gets into his presence.
Right.
It's our spirit. Spiritual.
Well, but then you just said our mind is going this way and that way.
He's always there, but we don't always realize.
You know, can't our spirit be in his presence while our mind's going this way and that way?
The spirit can always be in his presence, but we have to remember we are creatures. We are, you know, and our mind has to cooperate with our spirit. Mm-hmm. If we don't renew our mind, our mind can over-control us. That's when he tells us to renew our mind so it can connect with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes up through your spirit, your mind won't reject it and say, no, let's not think, you know. It will cooperate with the spirit. Mm-hmm. Your mind has to cooperate with the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just not, although we are spirit beings, we have a natural experience living on this earth. Your mind has to cooperate with your spirit.
Yeah, when we're in union with him, our mind is on him. Our heart's on him. Then we sense his presence. He stays. He's always there. But Mr. Austin said he said something that really stuck out. He's when you're in worship, if the Holy Spirit is like a dove. He comes. That's why we're full of the Holy Spirit when we go in his presence. We worship him. Our mind is on. We're in union. We're cooperating with him. But if we think, if we get in doubt or anger or something like that, it's like he'll leave. You can't sense his presence anymore. Now, he didn't leave you.
If you're doing, for instance, math.
Yeah.
You're doing what now?
If you're working math problems, for instance, you know, like Tommy has multiple math, you know, you're just thinking about it. You have to focus on something. And
your
attention. You're not consciously thinking about
on him.
God.
Right.
You know, so is that not as much in his presence as when you're consciously thinking about God?
He's there, but you don't realize it. When you go on about your daily activities, your mind is on that, you know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't leave.
He said we have to worship him.
The spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. Your mind is the one that don't allow you to do it sometimes unless you just come away and just, or you could be there doing the math problems and just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. You know, and you're coming into his presence, although there you got the math problems before you, you're coming into his presence. He's present there. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. But we're not always in his presence.
Right. And that's why I said, Lord, I want to be in your presence like I am in the prayer room. I want all the time.
And then it's easy and to get into his presence in church because everybody is worshiping. Mm-hmm. Everybody is, you know.
But,
and that's an easy environment. That's an easy atmosphere.
And I said, I'm going to learn to do this. I said, there's got to be a way
home,
to do
it. You got phone calls, you got this, you're trying to deal with dinner. Supper, but I've learned how to put my computer in there and just cooking and just saying, oh God, I praise you. You're the Most High God. Hallelujah. Jesus. And I just get the shouting in there sometimes and just praising him, just having a good time. Just change the atmosphere. But not all the time you're able to do that because and sometimes I'm able to do it if I'm in the presence of people, but I'm real quiet with them. You know, I know my brother, Lord, I thank you. Lord, you're working this out. You're doing this. You're doing that. You know. But he's always there. Always. That's when he said, come into my presence.
Yeah.
So check that off of the world. You know, come into my presence. Did we answer your question anyway?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
I mean, did we hit it any time?
Yeah.
Now, it's something that's lingering on you. We'll deal with it the next time.
Yeah.
We don't have